We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you this edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast Trade Machine. Devin Booker's up next. How's it going? Enjoying the offseason? You watching basketball games? Are you sitting around thinking about the Phoenix Suns, trying to find positivity and ultimately understanding that there is none, that this team has got a lot of roadblocks that lie ahead? I don't know about you, Matthew. I tried to be positive, but the dark side always seems to win out, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It always comes back down to zero, but I'm a little bit more positive as of late. It's nice to see the T-Wolves. We'll talk about them in a little bit, but see them advancing makes me a little bit more happy inside.
I tried to be happy. I wrote a piece for a bright side. Be like, hey, there's some hope, okay? There's some hope. It's maybe it's not as bad as we thought. And everyone's just like, no, you're an idiot. We're all doomed. I was like, okay, I can play the we're all doomed hand. So tomorrow I'll put out an article on bright side about trading Nurk. I'm like, all right, let's embrace the dark side. Fuck it. I'm all in. Is dark side of the sun. Yet? Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
He not will. Yet. Yeah, just give it time. I don't care. I don't care if people block me or don't block me. It's like, oh man, they block me. And then I carry the hell on with my day. I put my phone down and then like talk to a human being in person. And I'm like, oh, hey, wow, what a concept. But it's great to talk to everybody who's out there watching along live or listening at another time. We appreciate it. We really appreciate you taking some time. And if you happen to be watching on YouTube, I do got to say something about YouTube, Matthew. Don't know if you know this, but if you take a look at the stats over the last 28 days, of the people who watch on YouTube, 46.9% are not subscribed to the channel. Just hit the subscribe button, homies. Like, it's right there.
Ashamed.
Like, ashamed. Like, half of our viewership doesn't subscribe. And that's over a month's time. So, again, you do you. I can't tell you what to do with your phone. You know, if you don't want to subscribe because you're like, dude, I've got so many subscriptions. I don't know where to stop. I don't know where they end. I don't know where they begin. I'm so far ahead of them. I'm behind them. I get it, and I respect that. But help us out. Do us a solid. Give us one of those subs. Let everybody know where you watch Phoenix Suns content. Because what those subscriptions do is it helps algorithms or something. It sends other people who are trying to find like-minded people or people who want to be not like-minded and sends them our way. I'm just putting it out there. If you want to rate, review us on Apple Podcasts. We have no reviews since the last time that we did this, but we are starting to get a few more. So thank you to the people who, again, take some time out of their day and support the podcast. It's unbelievably important and humbling for both Matthew and I think.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there are a lot of people that come on here and they watch us. They're like, you know what? I didn't even know you existed till today. And that was like 4 days ago or 5 days ago. We've been doing this for 5 years. So yes, do subscribe so you can help those other people find us. Otherwise, we might be, I don't know. Could we put up some billboards? Could we go around the bus stations and put our, instead of Lerner and Rowe, be us? Just like stand there like.
Lerner and Rowe, Matthew and John. Matthew and John, it's just the way to go.
In the middle. Yeah.
I mean, I've got stickers. I just randomly put stickers out there. You know, I got the Mike Budenholzer sticker and the legendary sticker and whatnot. Are those backwards?
They're upside down.
Oh, they're upside down. I'm such an idiot. I'm like, hold on.
I was like, I think we get the point, though.
I think everyone listening gets the point. You're tired of hearing us promo ourselves. So I get that. We got plenty to talk about on this podcast. Since the last time we spoke, which was last Thursday, Mike Budenholzer introduced as the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. Both the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference finals are now set. And those matchups are something that we want to talk about briefly. And then, of course, it's Trade Machine Mondays. So we're talking about trading Devin Booker. Does that make sense? Do you do it? Why would you do it? What universe would you be living in if that does occur? Are you on a planet called Suns Planet? I don't know. So we're going to talk about that and plenty more on this edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. I would say pop open a beer if you got them, but I already popped mine. I had to write an article tonight, so I sat out on my patio. I cracked open a teeth-cracking cold beer. A nice little breeze was coming through. Sat there, threw the ball with the dog, and wrote an article, which will be on Bright Side of the Sun tomorrow, 06 a.m., 0600, as we said in the military. So if you'd like to read, stop by there. But until then, let's get this party started, huh?
Let's do it.
So yes, it's Trade Machine Mondays here on the Suns Jam Session podcast, where over the next few weeks, we're going to go through all the different players who are trade eligible and talk about different trades that could potentially occur. And if they're plausible or not, which some of them are most likely not, know that we will get none of these right, because we never have. We've been doing this for years, and I don't think we've ever gotten one right. The closest we ever got to getting one right was one time on the preseason jammies. Matthew predicted that Kristaps Porzingis would be traded from Dallas. I was like, you're full of shit. And then he ended up getting traded to the Washington Wizards that season. That's as close as we've ever gotten, Matthew.
Lucky him, huh? Well, that's what he
wanted. In the Western Conference.
Did not get along. It's so weird.
Well, he's in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean,
yeah, it all comes around. So, yeah, good for him.
Well, let's start with my first question.
Matthew, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, I got to ask, since last we spoke, at least here on the podcast, the Suns have introduced Mike Budenholzer as their head coach. And now, you know, we had an opportunity to see him introduced in front of the Suns media to give us some insight to who he is. So we'll play his drop, but I don't think I'll play the whole thing.
Play fast, play random, play together, play in great space. Let's go play some basketball. Have some fun.
Budenholzer. There you go. So, Matthew, aww. I got to ask. I'm not playing all 42 seconds of that. Matthew, I got to ask. What were your thoughts on the introductory press conference of Mike Budenholzer? Mike.
It's Mikey B. I like Budenholzer. It's a good intro for a short there. Mike Budenholzer. I'd be like, what? Booty? Oh, I got to watch. Is there a butt?
That's literally when I was working from home on Friday when his press conference occurred. So I got to see it. And my wife's like, are you on a call? I'm like, no, I'm watching the new head coach. He's getting introduced, Mike Budenholzer. And she's like, booty holder? I was like, that's why I love you.
Oh, God. Shout out to Shannon. Need some sourdough. You know, I think it's hard to get excited about a new head coach already after a year. But, you know, seeing his press conference, him being introduced by Al McCoy, them hugging him, bowing to Al McCoy.
Yes.
That's pretty special. That was pretty cool. Kind of brought you back to being like, all right, son. So I'm kind of excited for next year, just a little bit. The thing is, though, I mean, the press conferences are pretty boring. To tell the truth, the only thing that really stuck out is, you know, they asked him, point guard, do we need one? Yeah. Yeah, we might need one. So obviously there might be a few more changes heading into next season, but I think the Suns do have the right coach. And I keep going back to where I feel like they'd probably try to get him last year, you know, and obviously he took a year off because of his brother's death. And he not well-deserved. That was terrible to say. It was earned. He had to take that time off. It was earned from the NBA, from him winning a championship, from him coaching 5 years with the Bucks, but taking the break is much needed after the loss of a brother. Coming back to Phoenix, to where he wants to be, to where he said, hey, I'll coach his team in Alaska, on Mars, on the moon, wherever, if you believe that in planets in the moon, if they really do exist. That's pretty special, right? He would travel all over the world, outside of the world, into the universe to coach his son's team.
Yeah.
And he spoke to the players let him know like they're ready to win, obviously. So all the right things were said. Seems chill. He doesn't have those bullshit eyes that Frank Vogel used to have. He has those nice, just resting eyes.
It seems like he sees a lot,
but his eyes are a little bit more just telling soft. that they're soft, but they're just telling in a way where he seems like a deeper guy, a guy that can really connect to these players. That's my first read on him coming to Phoenix.
I'm glad you mentioned Frank Vogel's eyes, because I was thinking about this watching that press conference. My initial reaction was, it's a typical press conference. They're going to tell you it's a blanket statement, right? But again, as you mentioned, seeing him come up and knowing that this is somebody who understands what it's like to be a Suns fan, that's a rare thing to get in a coaching job. There's not a lot of great basketball players or coaches that come from the state of Arizona. I mean, if we were to do a top five on the greatest players that come from Arizona, Channing Frye would be on there, Richard Jefferson, Jared Bayless, Damon Stoudt. I mean, like,
Mike Bibby, was he from?
Yeah, Bibb's from here. Yeah, he went to Desert Mountain or Desert Shadows, one of those. Shadow Mountain, there we go. But again, so knowing that there's somebody that has a connectivity to this franchise. Now, obviously, that doesn't matter when it comes to the X's, the O's, and trying to fix this roster. But there was a connectivity to him in his press conference that I did not feel with Frank Vogel. And it was the eyes, my friend. And I thought about it. Frank Vogel reminded me of one of those solar salesmen who show up to your door and awkwardly knock, and then you talk to them, and you could see right away, like, there's bullshit behind them. They're telling you what you want to hear. You're trying to get out of the conversation because you're an idiot and you open the door. Never open your fucking door when somebody knocks. It's 2024, dude. Like, I can see you through the ring. I'm not answering. But still, I open it sometimes. And it's like Frank Vogel standing on the other side. And there was just an uneasiness behind his eyes and in his mannerisms that, as a fan, I always kind of felt uneasy. When they announced that Mike Budenholzer was going to be the new head coach, I kind of felt like, okay, cool. I think I tweeted out the guy from the office going, yay, you know? And I given his track record, obviously very similar to Frank Vogel, has built some things. They've succeeded. They regressed. But after talking to Van Fies on our last podcast and having a little bit more understanding of who and what Mike Budenholzer is, I gained some confidence. And then the next day, there's the press conference. Seeing his vulnerability as a human, seeing him tear up, having his dad sitting in the front row, talking about his family. Again, none of those truly matter when it comes to the court and how, but what it did to me is it created a level of connectivity that I'm hoping translates to the players. Whereas Frank Vogel, it was like this awkward solar salesman guy. And you saw that throughout the season. And again, the famous story from Sham Sharani and Doug Holler, where they're talking about Frank Vogel getting upset with the team after they lost to the Clippers and he's yelling at him. They're like, this guy's trying to sell me solar panels. Now he's like yelling at me. Ooh, Frankie, don't be getting mad at me. So I think there's a level of connectivity that might play in his favor. He's known as a player's coach, not a schemes coach. He's an offensive guy. He talked about shooting the three ball, which we all said ad nauseum with such a great shooting team, we should be shooting more. So I'm pleased with the direction that we're headed in, especially when you take a look at the landscape of coaching right now and you see what the Lakers are going through trying to get a head coach. There's just not a lot of great names out there. And then it's like J.J. Redick's like, yeah, but I don't know if I want to hand the keys to J.J. Redick right now. If we were a team with young players and they were trying to come up and we needed somebody who respected J.J. Redick, then absolutely. But this isn't a team. This team doesn't respect anybody. That's the problem with them, right?
Yeah, no, they don't. They do their own thing. They're just here to win. They're going to come practice. They're going to do what the coach says, but they definitely have to believe in them. And I think that was the one thing we talked about all year long is just, I think Frank was under the radar, just kind of, he was hidden away. Obviously, he wasn't really a scapegoat in a way early in the season, but there was always that thing where it's like, I just feel like he's losing the team. It always was kept, it was creeping up. It was creeping up slowly here, there. I don't see Bud as a guy like that. Obviously, I think that when he was coaching Giannis, it wasn't really Giannis's decision to let him go. You know what I mean? So
yep.
I don't know if this is 1 year though with this guy and then KD is still on the team. Obviously he's not going to be traded, even though we have talked about it last pod. I just think that there's an opportunity for KD to keep a coach for 1 or 2 years. And that'd be nice. I would like to see that. If Bud is one in and one out, then we all know we have a coach killer on our hand. And I didn't mean to turn it back to KD or anything like that.
Dude,
but
if Bud is one in, one out, like, I'm seriously going to start shopping for a new team because I can't take it anymore.
Yeah,
where they just constantly are recycling coaches. It's,
yeah,
it's the Cardinals did it for a while, and it drove me absolutely nuts where it's like, okay, once Arians is gone, we're going to try Steve Wilkes. Okay, he's gone. And, I mean, they went through, like, 3 or 4 coaches.
Yeah, but these are, like, big names, though. These are, like, Frank Vogel, Budenholzer. Like, these are names you want to keep around for at least 2 or 3 years to see how it works out. So, 100%. Yeah, if it's one and done, then I don't know what to do with this team.
I don't either. And, you know, obviously the challenge that lies before him has to do with the roster construction. And I will say, I do like the fact that Budenholzer did say that. He's like, well, you know, like, there's times where you don't need a point guard, but there's times that you do. So he had the balls, if you will, to say something like that. Whereas Frank Vogel will be like, have you seen Solar? Let me talk to you about Solar. Okay. They're like, do you need a point guard, Frank? He's like, I can get you a loan for your house and you can get the solar. You don't even have to pay for it. He pulls out a chart about like APS. You know, this is how much it costs for an energy bill. And this is you with solar. And you're like, yeah, but a point guard. Let's talk about a point guard, motherfucker. please, God damn it, Frank, please. He's like, no, but solar. He's like, can I be on the solar panel? It's like, no, they don't exist anymore, man. Tim Tompkins went to Florida and it all went to hell. So you look at the roster construction. Obviously, that's the game that we're playing this offseason, is we're playing with the sheer fact that there's trade assets, and we're going to take a look at every trade asset. But you look at what it takes to become a postseason successful team. And this team had the assets to do it. They just didn't have the fire behind it. I think that's where there's a lot of those intangibles that people are just having a hard time trying to define. But you take a look at the teams that are left now, and you have the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be playing the Dallas Mavericks, and the Boston Celtics are playing the Indiana Pacers. So talk to me a little bit about your perception on the four remaining teams, and who are you going for? Or do you give a shit?
No, I do give a shit. I'm going for the Wolves. I think that my biggest takeaway is definitely, you know, at the midseason mark, when you have to pick up guys, make some trades that really boost your roster up. I think the Dallas Mavericks did a tremendous job.
Obviously. They did, man.
PJ Washington, some guy we definitely wanted to add to the team. Daniel Gafford was a big pickup. You know, they got him some size, some defense, some 3-point shooting. Mm-hmm. They did it all right there. So they have the guts to support Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, the right group. We all knew towards the end of the season that this team was really hitting on all cylinders. So a lot of people were picking them to make the finals, right? So usually when that happens, it's like, oh, they're probably going to fall. They're not going to be able to. But they played a Thunder team that is still young, and I'm very proud of them, you know, not making it to the Western Conference Finals, which I thought they had a chance to this year. But it just showed, like, you know, they're going to see what they have out there this year, see how far they can get into the playoffs without making any moves. And, you know, going to off season, obviously they didn't make it to the West Conference Finals, but they know what to build on and know where to maybe add some size, but just let these guys kind of grow together. It'll be interesting to see how they mix it up, or maybe to keep the same team. I'm a fan of just keeping it the same way again and going next year, because these guys are so young, they're going to develop, and we've all been there, Suns fans, right? We've all had our guys, and now they're all gone. So now we're in fucking purgatory. So I don't think that the Oklahoma City Thunder should go that way. But if they did, I wouldn't be surprised. Mavericks, very proud of them, but I definitely could see them moving on to the finals. But I'm going for the Wolves, man, big time. I think Anthony Edwards, what he brought to this NBA this year in the playoffs, it just shows another guy that you can build upon in the NBA. And everyone's throwing around Jordan. Everyone's throwing around other guys like Dwayne Wade. You were last night watching the game. And there's a little bit of that in him, obviously, but this guy is the character you want to lead the NBA. And he's the one guy that can really talk shit and doesn't really piss you off as much. Obviously, he was doing it to the Suns, and I kind of didn't take it too personally.
So when you talk about OKC, obviously them losing to the Dallas Mavericks, you know, that's one of the reasons why a lot of Suns fans wanted to play them in the first round, because they were just their moment wasn't here yet. They have so much cap space, so many picks. They're going to be back. They got a ton of talent and a ton of guys who are going to, like you said, they're going to grow. But you take a look at the Western Conference Finals, and we'll obviously start there. The Wolves, a great game against Denver. I love that they beat Denver. You know, sometimes going into a series who you're rooting for. And sometimes you have to watch the games, and then you just start to feel it out as a fan. And that's the one nice thing about not being a Sun or being a Suns fan and watching on the sidelines, as we typically always end up doing, is we don't have the emotional connection really to either that makes us live or die with every play and every possession. So as I was watching the series, the Wolves were the team that I found the affinity to respect and like their style of game of play. I hated the Jamal Murray threw a fit and was throwing shit onto the court, you know, from towels to heat packs and all that stuff. And again, one of my issues with Denver, outside of the Pinkster brothers who showed up here last year during the playoffs to talk shit to us after every game that they won, they did so in kind of a nice manner. But a lot of the Denver fans just rubbed me the wrong way. And there's a little bit of rivalry there. Suns in four. And then obviously we losing to them last season in the postseason. There's a little bit of an animosity there. And I'm not a fan of their fans, and especially the way that they responded to win a championship. And I hope that if and when we ever win a championship, we as a fan base are a little bit more, don't act like new money, if you will. I don't know. It's just one of those things that kind of rubs me the wrong way, to where I just disengage. I don't go back at it. I just disengage with it. I'm like, wow, that's really going to be, if the response to everything you're going to say, yes. And Creepy Crawly corrected me. It's Pinster, not Pinkster. Hey, they never showed back up. But again, I lost my point. Thanks, Boyd. Motherfucker. Somehow, some way, Boyd always fucks things up. New money.
We hope we don't. We hope we don't behave like the new white trash out there, right? Or the new poor, we call them. I don't
know. Yeah. Well, it's just it's a matter of how you. I don't know. I lost it. Classic. Yeah. Hamill's right. Classic Boyd. I was on a. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
I've never seen you this way where you actually lost your train of thought.
I totally lost it. It's like, you know. I hope that when we. When we do so with grace, I don't know. I'd rather see them win over Dallas 100%. But regardless, either of those two teams, I'd rather see them go to the finals and beat the Celtics. Now, the Pacers is an interesting one. I think the Pacers will give Boston some fight, especially in those first couple games without Porzingis, because Porzingis really unlocks who the Celtics are. But that being said, with the pace that they play with, they can. And the health factor that they possess, I really think that they can give Boston a hard time, but Boston's just too good. So, but Wolves is kind of who I'm going with, right? I really want to see the Wolves win, just because statistically, if the Wolves win the finals, that means in the 33 times the Suns have made the playoffs in their 56 years history, 16 of the teams that eliminated them won the fucking finals. 16. That's like almost half.
That is pretty nuts. It makes you feel a little bit better. But you know, you still want to win. But just really quick with the Eastern Conference Finals. So Adam Silver is really trying hard to fix a lot in the NBA. Obviously the All-Star game is one thing, but to fix the East side of things, like there has to be something there. Cause I feel like any time that there's the Eastern Conference Finals and the team moves on, the other team that loses is always just like, why are they even there? Like, how are they there, right? Like, the Pacers, obviously a good team, but out West, they would have lost in the first round, right? And then you go back, it's like the Toronto Raptors, when LeBron was there, they were shit. Yeah. And then obviously, like, the Celtics, too, when Jason Tatum was first in the league, they were shit. I know LeBron was in the East, but he was winning every Eastern Conference Finals, obviously.
Easily, by the way.
But, like, what is it where you feel like there's a lot of talent out there, but why do they shrink so much? And why are they just, like, kind of tossed to the side? Like, you know, the Pacers are great, but next year if they didn't make the playoffs, or just maybe they're another six seed again, then I'd be like, well, yeah, I kind of saw that. Like, they weren't even that great. And even, like, the Trae Young-led Atlanta Hawks a few years ago.
Yeah,
Eastern Conference Finals. Like, everyone forgets about that, too. So, I don't know. The other team, I feel like out West, I feel like it's always the finals. It's always who wins this is going to win the finals, basically. So I don't know. Adam Silver has a lot of work to do. I don't know how you do that, but you got to figure something out East. I don't know what the deal is with that.
It's just it's wonky ball out there. It's wonky basketball. It's been like that for quite some time, where it's very top heavy. There's a couple of really good teams, and everybody in the middle is just kind of in the middle. I do remember my point. I was going to say is the thing that frustrated me the most about Denver fans is anytime you would try to talk to them about anything and have a constructive conversation, right? I don't go as far to say argument. Arguments when you start mudslinging and calling people idiots and things of that nature. If you challenge somebody's opposing point of view, that starts a conversation. But with Denver now, they're the kind of people that are like, oh yeah, well, how many championships have you won in Phoenix? Like if that's going to be the answer, it's like Lakers fans. One of the most annoying things about Lakers fans, anytime you try to have a discourse with them about something that's occurring this season, they remind you that they've won 17 championships or whatever it is, 18 championships. And you're like, cool, okay, I didn't know we were talking about all time. Yes, we are a shit franchise. We've never won a fucking title. If that's going to be the basis and the foundation of every argument you have, you're always going to win. So I'm not going to have that conversation with you. Denver now does that. The Denver fans now do that. They remind you, like, oh yeah, well, we won a title. And Phoenix never has. You're like, okay, cool. Back to like me thinking Booker's better than Murray. Murray beat you and had a title. Okay. I'm talking about this season, the way he's playing, you know, and that's just one of those caveats that just annoy me and I disengage.
Yeah, the thing is, though, when Phoenix does win a championship, they'll be the last ones, and we're going to be like, well, like, how many championships you got, mom, at church? Like, who are we going to argue with? I don't understand. Like, who are we going to say that to?
We're the last NBA team to win a championship.
All the WNBA teams,
everybody but us. So, I mean, that's what's going on. Obviously, when we get back together on Thursday for our Thursday podcast, we'll be a couple games in. Tuesday is the first game in the Eastern Conference. Wednesday is the first game in the Western Conference. So we'll have our takes on that as we talk about some other things. But now it's time to talk about Devin Booker and the trade machine. Now, first off, just for fun, Matthew, just for fun, I'm going to play like an old drop, okay? Remember that one?
Dude. Yeah. Is that during the finals run? That was. Because the thing is, every time we're on the pod with the PHNX guys and Dave King, every time someone would start talking, be like, oh, don't be negative. And then it would be like, oh, come on, let's stay positive. Oh, don't be negative. Like, that's what everyone was saying the whole time back and forth. Is that why
like,
it was made?
Well, it's because Saul's always negative. And so we'd like, and then Saul would come in and throw a negative bomb and we'd dive on it, try to stop it. But it, like, you know, reality is negative. But let's get positive. Let's talk about trading Devin Booker.
Yeah, dude, I hate that guy.
So, yeah. No secret here. So obviously this is an exercise. I'll start the premise with this, and Matthew, you can disagree with me or agree with me and let me know your thoughts. There is no world in which the Suns are trading Devin Booker, nor is there a world in where the Suns Jam Session podcast believes that they should trade Devin Booker. The purpose of this exercise is, let's say that the Suns take a look at everything and they go, you know what? Our most valuable asset is Devin Booker. We want to blow it up, and we want to blow it up now. Because believe it or not, there are people out there in the Suns universe who believe that that is what needs to happen. People are so obsessed with having draft capital and the fact that the Suns don't have the appropriate draft capital. Now, again, everybody who's like, oh, man, the Suns, they don't have any picks. They don't control any picks. And then a draft like this one that's coming up is going on. It's like, well, I mean, the Suns have a pick. They're like, yeah, but it's not a good draft. Like, okay. So, you know, when it comes to benefiting your narrative of having draft picks, we do have draft picks. We just don't have control over them. And in a perfect world, you're good enough to where you don't need your draft picks. Now, granted, the other side of that is not having draft picks does not allow you to sweeten the pot in deals. So if you are trying to acquire somebody, you can't throw a bunch of draft picks in there to make a better trade than, let's say, the Kings, because they're going for the same player. So I understand that. But at the same time, we're doing this as an exercise in futility and understanding we're not trading Devin Booker, but let's see what we could get from him. Let's see what kind of things we put out there, right? Is that what we're doing? Or do you think we should trade Devin Booker?
That's what we're doing. Obviously, we're not trading Devin Booker, but one season like last season, one more, then maybe that's what's going to happen. But yeah, it's funny because even the shorts that are put out, there's always a comment like, well, this is why you're not a GM about a Kevin Durant trade.
Yeah, I'm not a fucking GM.
But we're just saying if it came down to it, I even got shit from work from my friend Ming. He's like, so I'd never trade Kevin Durant. Like, I know, but it's just like, if we have to, if something comes up where Kevin Durant just wants off the team and everything he's saying that Sham Serrano says that he says is true, then yeah, he has to leave or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's worst case scenario.
And James Jones at John Gambadoro reported it that there's no way that they're trading any member of the big three. They're sticking with it. The running back, I think they should. Again, if they could trade Bradley Beal, that's the answer, but they're not going to. Maybe we're just going to run it back under a new head coach and the culture and it will shift and something's going to click. And all of a sudden this team wins 15 games in a row and everybody just shuts the fuck up and they get positive.
Like we predicted last year in the beginning of the season, I thought they were going to win, I think 20 in a row.
I think, yeah,
we all 21 games in a row. Yeah.
We all were optimistic. Yeah, we were very, very wrong. So let's start with the player bio, and that's Devin Armani Booker. He's 27 years old. Do you know Devin's birthday by chance?
Yeah, it's October 25th or something. It's
so close.
October 26th? What?
October 30th.
Okay.
Yeah. But Libra. Yeah, he'll turn. Nope, Scorpio. He'll turn.
What?
Yes.
Are you sure?
HIV positive. I'm a Libra. I'm in middle of October, and my brother, who's October 25th, is a Scorpio. Look it up. Go ahead. I see you typing away.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, because I know, I thought him and... oh, yeah, you're right,
man. I know I'm right. But he turns 28 pretty much at the beginning of the season. His contract, he has 4 years remaining on it for $221 million. He's in the first year of his Supermax contract. Last season, technically a career high because he played over 55 games, so it's actually recordable in the annals of Suns history, but 27.1 points per game, 49.2 field goal percentage. He was 36.4 3-point percentage, 88.6 free throw percentage. a career high 6.9. Oh my God, 69 assists per game and 4.5 rebounds per game. So Devin Booker, needless to say, and I know the KD stands, I'll sit there and be like, oh, well, fucking KD's the greatest son. Well, Devin Booker has the most value, okay, because of the fact that he's in his prime and he's hitting it in every capacity. Right, Matthew?
Yeah, definitely. And to get back on the birthday thing really quick, so I forgot, KD's a Libra. And
that's, when's his birthday?
Your pen pal. September 30th. So he's a
He's a month apart from... Yeah.
I always thought the whole time that Booker was a Libra. I'm like, him and KD are nothing alike. And it makes more sense he's a Scorpio because he's more serious.
Yes.
That's all you hear about Booker. Like, he's a serious dude. So, yeah, it makes, like, Eric, your nephew, mm-hmm. serious little dude. Like a little Devin Booker. All right, makes sense.
Yeah, he's a Scorpio.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, the 23rd, right?
Yeah.
God. And then Steph's the 26th?
No. She's the 20th. She's a Libra. And he's the 26th.
That's right. She's a Libra. Yeah. Okay. Now everybody knows our entire family is born in October. So you take a look at the stats. They look fantastic. But again, we're playing, well, what's the value? What value does Devin Booker have? What trades can we throw out there and see what we could garner back? Okay. It's going to be a lot more fun because next week we're doing Nurkic. And those are ones that are possible and real. Like, we'll really.
Those are ones where I'm like, all right, let's do it. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm going to start off with one from the Aussies Suns fan podcast. This one comes from Gavin, and he says you trade Devin Booker to the Knicks. You get Julius Randle, who has 2 years, $30.3 million left on his contract. Josh Hart, 4 years, $18.1 million. You get a first-round draft pick from the Knicks that is from Milwaukee in 2025. And you get a first-round pick that is top three protected in – it says 2017, but it's 2027. So – again, if you're watching along live, A, B, C, D, or F on this trade, if you were to trade Devin Booker, everyone's going to be an F, okay? I get it. Everyone's like, nope, wouldn't do that. If you were to do that, is this enough value getting back? That's my question, okay? So, Matthew, do you think this is enough value getting back for Devin Booker?
No, actually, if Devin Booker wanted out of Phoenix and this is what we got back, I would be done as a Suns fan. I'd be absolutely done. I'd be at every too. Mercury game. And I would start covering him for Brightside and go to games for that, but I would not go to another Suns game in my life. Be over. Well,
I know that when Gav put this together, he says, it pains me to write this, but he's getting Fs right across the board, F minuses, which aren't even possible, but they're just, Beat LA says, no, Randall, he's a bum. I agree. I get it from a math standpoint to try to make this work, but B says incomplete. Shit value from Boyd, he says, Aussie Suns fans suck arse. It's correct. If you've ever watched Boyd on their podcast, that is correct. I agree with this one. I get the premise, but there's not enough picks coming back and not enough talent. It's kind of shit on both, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible.
Well, let's see what the Suns Planet has from Jake at the Suns Planet. He sends over Zion Williamson, who's got 4 years, $36.7 million, Trey Murphy for 1 year, $5.1 million, and Jose Alvarado for 1 year, $1.9 million. So in this theory, what Jake's doing from Suns Planet is he's saying, you know what, let's get Zion out of this deal and a couple of expirings, and we reset and we build around Zion.
So my first reaction is, okay, so Brandon Ingram's staying. So that's the one thing, is Brandon Ingram's always going to be on the go for this team. So that's nice to have that with Booker, but then you have like kind of the same thing, even though CJ McCollum's a different kind of two than Beal. I think CJ is a little bit more of a ball handler, obviously, but I think him and Booker be like the same kind of situation as what we have in Phoenix right now with Beal. So I'm looking at it that way. So if I were the Pelicans, I don't think we get any better. Obviously if Zion is healthy, Suns definitely win this trade. I think I love Zion Williamson and Trey Murphy to have that as a building block. I think that'd be huge, even though it's 1 year left for Trey Murphy, so that's not bad. I like it. It's not too bad.
It's okay, and you're getting some C's and some B's. Hell, even Jake gave it an A- in the chat. I guess the issue that I have with this one is the fact that there's not any picks attached to it, but that's because Zion's attached to it. Essentially, you're going Booker for Zion. You're throwing on a couple assets to try to sweeten the deal. So I understand that. I just don't want to build around Zion. I would love to have Zion on the team, but I wouldn't want to build around him. I think that there'd be a couple more things that I would do with this team to make it happen. But this is more plausible than that Nick shit that Gavin sent us. There's one. Now, one of your friends sent one in, correct?
Yeah. So this is the one, shout out to Ming at work. This is the one that he sent over to me. I switched it up a little bit just because we couldn't do a couple of players from the Suns. But we got Devin Booker going to the Bulls for Nikola Vucevic, 2 years, $20 million left on his contract. For Kobe White, 2 years, $12 million. Alex Caruso, I love that dude. 1 year only left for $9.8 million. He'll probably get paid. And then a first-round pick, so from 2021. So the thing is, I was trying to add picks, and I couldn't do back-to-back-to-back for some reason because I was going to do four first-round picks with this.
You can't. That's why there's pick swaps in between. It's four first-round picks, but pick swaps in between. That's why when we traded away, we traded for Kevin Durant, we gave up like our 2024 or our 2025, our 2027, our 2029, our 2023, and then like a 2026 pick swap.
Okay, that makes sense. And if I would have put a little bit more effort, I probably would have figured
it out. And 2021 obviously is wrong. Because
so four
that's
picks.
4 years ago, I mistyped that.
Four picks isn't too bad. I mean, I really do like Kobe White last year, Alex Caruso. And if you have the four picks, if you're really trying to rebuild, and maybe you got somebody else coming from another team, if you're trading Kevin Durant, then not too bad.
Well, and I appreciate Ming sending this one our way. And one thing that I think is valuable to understand is the aggregating salaries going up. Because I know that Ming initially had a couple more salaries from the Suns going over and more assets trading hands. Bobby Marks from ESPN, I actually reached out to him this morning and asked him what the aggregation rule is, because it's a conversation that we've had in Sun circles trying to understand it. And so everybody knows the aggregation rule is for the Phoenix Suns, they cannot aggregate salaries. Effective April 15th, they cannot aggregate salaries because they were a second apron team this past year. Teams like the Minnesota Timberwolves, they were a first apron team this year. They're projected to be a second apron team next year, but they can aggregate salaries up until July 1st when they become a second apron team. So the Suns really can't aggregate any salaries going out this offseason. So we can't send two guys out. We can send out a guy and a draft pick or two, but we can't send out Devin Booker and Nasir Little to make things happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we finally got some clarification. Thanks to Bobby Marks for answering my question when I asked him. So
he was on PHNX today too, wasn't he?
Yeah, I saw that. Then he was on PHNX. Man, huh? I'm like, he probably thought I was them when I was texting him at like 6.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm coming on a little bit, but I'll just answer.
I was like, oh, you are? Shit, I'm working. I like aspects of this trade, but I don't like Vucevic at all. So please, God.
No. I hate Vucevic too, but never mind.
All right, well, let's get into some of our trades. We both have a couple that we're gonna fire up here. So the first one's you, Matthew. So tell me about this trade that you have.
tell
me a little bit about this one. So
I don't believe we're doing a Beal trade, right? We're not gonna do a Beal trading app. We can't. Yeah, I know.
And we're not gonna do one that's on the show. I'm not even gonna waste my fucking time.
All right, so Booker for Trae Young right here. Trae Young, 3 years, $43 million coming back for Devin Booker. The reason behind this is you need a guy to handle the ball, obviously. It wouldn't be too bad. You got Budenholzer, who just missed out on Trae Young coming into the league, right? He was there before he was drafted.
Yeah, he was the team that sucked so bad they got the first pick.
Yeah.
So, or the third pick or whatever he was, second pick, eighth pick, whatever.
Yeah, fifth pick, I think.
I think fourth.
Fourth pick. Yeah, so you get your ball handler. You get the guy that can really be maybe that's next Steve Nash here in Phoenix with Bradley Beal, who can play his true position at two. And then you got Kevin Durant still. So it's not too bad. You still got a good core there. You still got a young guy in Trae Young, who's definitely an all-star. He can probably rebuild his career. First coming in the league, man, he was on fire. He was already an all-star starter his rookie year. Then after that, a few more seasons later, like no one could stand the dude. No one likes the guy. I know Jones would say, I can't stand him. But there's still something there to his game. Having a coach like Budenholzer maybe would help him, but obviously this is not going to happen. But if you're going to get some guy back, I would go Trae Young.
I get what you're always doing here, right? We don't have a playmaker. You got Beal under contract because you can't trade him. You got KD, you got Nurk. Give me a playmaker. Give me somebody who Trae Young, for all the things that he's bad at, he is a good playmaker. He's got excellent court vision. Yeah. He shoots probably a little too much, is not a great defender. But so I see what you're doing here. And I was starting to get on board with the idea until I looked at that fucking face of his right there. Look how smug that asshole looks.
Yeah.
He's just smug. Like, he looks like he's letting out a silent one during his media day picture. He's like, Furp. He's like, yeah, you're going to smell that in a minute. So I get the concept. It's not the end of the world. Well, it is the end of the world if we're trading Devin Booker, but this is one of those ones where if the Suns are pressing reset, you can see it kind of happening. Here's my first one. I've got one with the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is one where the Thunder get Devin Booker because they need that guy, right? They got SGA, who's a playmaker facilitator. They need that star next to him. So they send Jalen Williams our way because Jalen Williams, as young as he is somebody who Devin Booker would be replacing. He's got 2 years, $4.7 million left on his contract. They send out Lou Dort for $16.5 million. They get Josh Giddey over here because he's already rumored to be in trades for them. Not a great postseason, but definitely somebody who's a facilitator, can rebound. He's a big point guard and can play power forward a little bit. Again, a challenge with him is, you know, his ability to be consistent. And then they send us three draft picks. We get their 2025 via Philadelphia, the 2026, and the 2027. So in this world, we are kind of hitting reset. We're getting off a lot of money in this one because we don't have to send out as much as we're getting back. And we are getting younger. We're getting some defense, we're getting some offense, and we're getting some picks. So tell me your thoughts on this one.
Love it. I think Jalen Williams is going to be the next guy. You hear a lot of Kawhi Leonard comparisons with him, but that guy has it. He's the next dude. It's like if Shea was on that team and they had like a mediocre point guard or something, I would choose Jalen Williams within the next 3 years to be an MVP candidate. Like that's how promising I think this dude is. I definitely love it. Lou Dort, obviously we all love. Giddey, it's a weird thing with him. I do think that the playoffs kind of rubbed everybody the wrong way. I still think there's something there. He rubbed some other people the wrong way. So in the off the court issue, so that probably had a lot to do with his game. But with the picks coming back too, I do love this trade. And Giddey can maybe just be the point. So I do like this one a lot, John. Good job.
Thank you. It'll never happen, but if it was going to happen, I could see this one happening. All right. and Huntstar asks a good question. It's like, do we want the PR nightmare that is Josh Giddey? Do you want to answer that?
Is it already done? Like this thing is like these players do bad things and it just goes away. And I haven't heard anything or seen anything lately.
To my understanding, it's done. Here's the way I look at it. Okay. The PR nightmare argument is what we said about Kyrie Irving. We don't want that here. PR nightmare. The guy's a prick. He's an asshole. He's an idiot. He's a flat earther.
I wanted Kyrie still.
I did too. We both did. We did podcasts where we talked about, like, dude, he's exactly what we need. I get the personal stuff, but from a basketball standpoint, he fits in perfectly. But everybody's like, well, it's a PR nightmare. You know what's not a PR nightmare? The fucking Western Conference Finals. And he's been great. So I'm all for Giddey. I don't think that there's much there. It's not my place to be the judge, jury, and executioner on those kind of things. I'm a basketball fan, and I think that he could help this team from a basketball standpoint, whether it's in the Devin Booker trade or not. Because one thing I'm going to give you guys a preview to next week. I think OKC is a great place for Nurkic to end up. They need a big. They need a solid guy to give them some minutes, to get them some rebounding. That's what hurt them in the series against the Mavericks. Nurkic can be that guy. And we keep Josh Giddey and maybe a couple. It could happen. I'm just saying. So that's a preview.
Yeah, I mean, they don't play too fast, right? They like to slow it down more. So he'd be perfect. I think that's a good fit for him.
And I like what Sir Hamo says. He says, I'd take Giddey over Diddy. Exactly. Diddy, different set
of problems. I would work my way up. I would go with Giddey first and then go to Diddy. Or maybe there's a bigger gap than that. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's talk about your next trade option, Matthew. I know. I did mine like last week, so I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot.
Yeah, like this must have been the first one I did. So Devin Booker going to the Memphis Grizzlies for the guy they should have drafted above. DeAndre. Just kidding. Jaren Jackson Jr., he has 2 years, $25.2 million left on his contract. Marcus Smart coming over too, which I feel like he's a good spot for. I'll save it for the NERC podcast too. But 2 years, $20.2 million coming over. And two first-round draft picks, maybe add a couple more, but the 28 and the 29 first-round draft picks from the Memphis Grizzlies. Obviously, that means something happens with Nurk. And this is a situation, too, where I think you get a little bit younger. Of course, Marcus Smart is older, but you get Jaren Jackson Jr., who's definitely going to improve every year upon year. And then you also get someone else back for Kevin Durant, and you can still have Bradley Beal on the team. I don't mind it too much. That's okay.
Well, I could see again what you're doing with this. You're adding some size and some defense and somebody who can some grit, which is a word that we utilized multiple times throughout the season because this team lacked that grit. So Jaren Jackson and Marcus Smart both give you some of that. You do get some draft capital out of it. They would want to do it in Memphis because you're putting Devin Booker next to Ja Morant, just like it should have been back when we should have got him as a draft pick, but the draft lottery didn't go our way. So I see what you're doing. I'm not overly opposed to it. I don't know if I could root for Jaren Jackson Jr. Just it would hurt. He annoys me. Just
Oh really? I love the dude.
He fouls. He is just a lot of those boneheaded fouls.
He'll get better.
Yeah, he's also young. And you have some flexibility here because they both are on 2-year contracts. So I can see what you're putting down there, Matthew. I can see what you're putting down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go. I think this is our last one. And it's my last one. And this is reuniting Devin Booker with Monty Williams in Detroit. What Detroit's doing is they're saying, you know what? We got boned again in the lottery, right? Worst team in the NBA got the 5th pick. Last year, one of the top 3 worst teams in the NBA. What happens? They get the 5th pick. So they're not getting. Now, granted, it's not a great draft, but still, it's not even something that somebody would want to trade for in an effort to try to get more quality asset. Hey, you have the 1st pick. Give us one of your stars, right? So in this trade, we're trading for Asar Thompson, 3 years, 8.3 on left. Jaden Ivey, 2 years with 7.9 left. And Jalen Duren, 2 years, $4.5 million. And then we're getting their 2025 first-round pick, their 2027 first-round pick, and then pick swaps in 26 and 28. So 4 first-rounders, 3 players for Devin Booker to Detroit. Again, we'll see how it all comes out based on their record with Devin Booker on that team. But it's them, and by them I mean the Pistons, it's them unloading the gun and saying, we're finally going to take a swing on somebody. Let's do it. And Booker and Monty Williams have a relationship, and you know they'll fly him out to Detroit. He's from, you know, Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's going home for him, so he's up to it. So if this gets floated out there, Booker's like, you know what? I would never leave my home of Phoenix, but I'll go home to play for the Pistons. Because last time I played in Detroit, I played for 5 minutes and they ejected me from the game, and I want to go back.
That's the reason to get traded. Yeah, that makes sense. V. Vagocia says, and I think we've answered this a few times, but question is, if they would trade Booker, wouldn't KD want out, seeing that he's the only reason he wanted to play in Phoenix? He wanted to play with Booker. So, yeah, I think I've said that a few times where it's like, well, this is an idea that's going to happen. And then you obviously get something back for Kevin Durant to go along with some of these trades. So,
yeah, I think that, you know, again, the Kevin Durant and the Devin Booker trade scenarios are we're in fuck it all mode. So yeah, Kevin Durant most likely would be on the move too, because the Suns are going, you know what? We're just going to press reset and we're going to become Sam Presti. We tried it with the big three. It didn't work. Now, granted, when we have these conversations next summer, Matthew, there's going to be a lot more validity to the conversations because it will be 2 years with the big three. Kevin Durant will have 1 year left on his contract. Devin Booker will have 3. Bradley Beal will still have 2, but we can't trade them. But if we have these conversations next year and this team doesn't succeed in the playoffs, if they don't make it to the Western Conference Finals, then it's a failed season and we are seriously contemplating blow it up mode and going into Sam Presti mode and being like, okay, Paul George doesn't want to be here. Russell Westbrook doesn't want to be here. Let's blow it up. Send one of the Clippers, send Russell Westbrook to Washington, get everybody's picks and start building in the draft that way. Cause that's exactly what Sam Presti did. The gem that he was handed was in that trade with the Clippers. He received Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which accelerated their viability as a team. And they're still in building mode. They're $35 million under the cap. They got every pick till fucking sixth graders are playing in the league. So there's a lot of, you know, that's a great question. If the Suns are going to eventually blow it up, it's not going to be like, okay, we're going to get rid of. If they get rid of Kevin Durant, that'll be one thing. If they get rid of Devin Booker, like, everybody's gone. Because Devin Booker's, this is his team. He ain't going anywhere. He shouldn't go anywhere. I don't want him to go anywhere. Period. Exclamation.
Does he want to go somewhere? So the thing is like,
he wants to go on vacation and then come back to
Phoenix. He wants to come back. But I think after one more year, if things do go to shit, then he might want out more than us wanting him to trade, wanting us to trade him. Us, I mean, the Phoenix Suns, Matt Ishbia. Obviously, that's the last thing they want to do. You don't want a new owner coming in here and just getting rid of the best player that we've had here in Phoenix in so long. So, yeah, I think those are some good trades. I'm not really sure who really won those. I think my favorite one was the which one did I really like? Which one was I just talking about? I like that one. Azir's someone. That one.
OKC. I like the OKC one the best. I think that's the best one because we get a ton of picks. We assist a lot of it just makes a lot of sense. It just makes a lot of sense. So, but again, none of this is going to happen. Now, that being said, when we go live next Monday, we're talking NERC, baby. And NERC is a viable contract. It's been rumored that the team is shopping him. So why not? You know, let's get crazy with that one. So let us know in the chat. If you're listening on Spotify, we'll put a poll up there. Which trade did you like the most? So you can answer that. So again, those are Spotify people. You can't leave reviews, but you can still engage. We still got about 10 minutes here, so let's get a little crazy.
Childhood trauma.
All right, childhood trauma. We haven't done this in a while, but it's been a while. It's the off season. Childhood trauma. If anybody has topics that they want us to discuss in childhood trauma and you're watching along live, go ahead, put those topics in the chat. We'll address those and share probably a little too much. But what's going on with you, Matthew? How you been, guy? How you spending your time?
Like, right now?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's actually a good time to be in the Suns off season. Just work, and I'm working on a certificate for work too, so that's taking up a lot of my time. I haven't really been doing much else though, man. that's about it. What are you up to, man?
I'll just tell you this: it's crazy to me that we're recording this and it's May 20th. Like, time this year, for some reason, this has been one of the quickest years of my life. Yeah. Now, granted, the front end of the year, January, I quit my old job. I took 10 days off. I started a new job. So much akin to yourself, a lot of learning, a lot of just establishing a new routine. I'm in that routine now. It feels great. The Suns and everything that entailed, obviously our friend Dave King passing away, you know, a lot of just it's been flying by. I'm unbelievably excited because of the preview / trailer for the NCAA 25 football game came out. And when that comes out, like, our content level will fall because I'm going to play the living fucking shit out of that. Yeah. I was obsessed with that game forever. Yeah. It is the greatest game to take ASU to play. I used to always play with like SMU or San Diego State, and I would try to recruit Marshall Faulk and bring him on my team. And yeah, and it got really good. Right before they got rid of the game, it got really good because you could like put your logos online. So you know me, I design. I'm a graphic designer. Like, I'm wearing a shirt that I design. You're wearing a shirt that I design. I'm wearing a hat that I design. And I would create logos, and then I would put them on the helmets of my team. I mean, I got really into it. So to know that that's coming back in early July, right when the Olympics are starting, like, man, we'll be probably doing like a pod a week talking about the Olympics and then carrying the fuck on with our lives. So
it's something that's going to have to happen. I think right after the finals, usually it's right when it dies down a little bit, right?
Oh, big time.
Is it August though, when there's like nothing going on?
August, I feel like
July,
dead.
There's a little bit of trades or no?
Yeah, the front of July, it's busy because that's when all the trade stuff starts. The free agency happens.
Yeah.
Then once free agency is done, the back end of July, it's hot and dead. August is dead and summer league kind of starts. And then September, we really start to get into it. So. HuntStar05, and real quick, I just want to put this announcement out there. The Suns Planet podcast is actually, to those who are listening on FanSided, they're going to be taking our place on FanSided. We're actually going over to the Believe Network. It's not going to affect the way that any of you listen to this, but if you get a chance, listen to the Suns Planet podcast. You have Josh Hunt, who does a lot of their graphics. You have IJ Hamilton, who is... been with the Aussie Suns Fan podcast. You have Jake, who's equipment manager, Fallen Founder. And then you got Kevin the Slut from Chile, I believe, or Argentina, or somewhere down South America. So it's a good podcast. Check him out when you get a chance. But Huntstar asks, vacation camping trauma.
That's a good one. Huh?
That's a great one. We haven't had this one before.
We haven't done that.
Ooh, man.
So I don't know if I really had any trauma on vacation. Camping. That's an interesting one. I don't know. It's actually more embarrassing than anything.
That's traumatic.
No, I don't think I could do that one though.
Oh no. Is it just there's stupid. A list of shit in the woods?
Oh my god, that's exactly what it is, dude. I probably told you about that. No, I don't think I'll do that. I'll stick with going with oh man, I'm trying to think if there's anything else though. You know, I think vacationing as a youngster, as a little Lissy walking around, it was always traumatic because my dad was always just so fucking grumpy. And every time we go anywhere, man, he just was so grumpy. Hurry up. Everyone shut up. Don't say anything. So getting to go to Texas or doing whatever we did and go to SeaWorld, it was always just like, just no joy, really. You try to, but then the older and older I got, I was like, dude, like, go sit in the van. Don't make any noise. Like, hurry up. Oh, man, it was the worst. So I think that's just really traumatic. It's just the on the way to the vacationing spots. That's all it was.
I know that for a fact because we drove we drove out to Amarillo for Thanksgiving a couple years ago. And one of the things, you know, obviously my wife is your older sister and she was part of those trips growing up out to Amarillo. And she's like, when we drove out there, and it's a 12, 13 hour drive nonstop. And we got there, no problem. And she was just like, that was awesome. She's like, my whole life going out there just sucked because my dad was just mean.
Yeah. You know,
the whole drive, we'd have to sit in the back and shut up and be quiet. It's like,
why are we going?
Yeah. I'm like,
yeah. No. And he was just always, every time we would be at the house too, it was like, he was always had like this and different kind of energy. And just, I don't know, man.
Well,
you know what it's like to be a dad 100% out there, right?
Well, and I know what it's like to, you know, my dad was very similar because he was kind of, you know, love him to death too. But he was an asshole. So, I'll do one of each. Okay. I'll do camping and vacation. I'll start with vacation. Vacation, born in Arizona, grew up out in LA. So every Thanksgiving, we would drive home to Phoenix. And I just remember my mom and my dad would either not come or drive separately. So it was like me. And when I was really young, it was just like me, my older sister, my little brother. We didn't have the other two at that time. And I just remember my mom waking us up at like 3 a.m, put us in the car, and listening to Amy Grant cassette tapes as we drive across the desert. Because we'd get into Phoenix. My mom would drive slow as shit too. We'd get into Phoenix at like noon. But I just remember seeing the sun be coming up. We'd be hitting Indio or Blythe, and then we'd start across the desert. And just Amy Grant records, you know, El Shaddai.
I don't know who that is.
I know. Nobody does. But my mom fucking rocked the cassette tapes ad nauseum. Camping, a little bit more I won't say fun. So one thing that I did when I turned 16 years old, we used to go out to this place called Firefall, and it's out in the Superstition Mountains. And it used to be on this road where you're headed out towards Florence and you take a left and you go down this like 5 mile dirt road. And at the very end, there was this place run by the Dons of Arizona that was like this little camping area, had buildings and stuff. And what they would do once a year is they'd have like a Westerns weekend, and up on the side of a hill, they had this big bucket that they would have coals roasting in for 4 or 5 days. And then they would dump it. And it looked like a waterfall of fire. Right. So one of my buddies, his dad was one of those Dons. So when they weren't there, we used to go out there and party all the time. Like when it turned Y2K, that's where I was out in the middle of the desert, you know, in case the world goes to hell, man. Like that's where we were. So I remember when I turned 16, we were going to throw a kegger out there. At 16, maybe I was 17, and my house growing up, there was the front door, and then we converted the garage, that the people before us converted the garage into a room, and that's my room, and it had a door to it as well. So we snuck 3 kegs into my room, and I put a blanket over it, and then my little brother Charlie went and told my mom like the next day. She's like, "There's a bunch of weird things in the room." My mom's like, "What are these?" I'm like, "They're Pepsi." She's like, "John, I know what the fuck they are." And she didn't get mad at me. You know, she's like, "Just be safe. You're going out to the desert. Just be safe." God bless you, Mom. And we went out there. And the only reason I bring this up is we're out there and a big fire's going and everybody's having a good time. There's keggers. And I remember like I'm drinking Everclear or something. I remember I take a swig and I throw the bottle. And as I throw the bottle, I pass out. And I wake up and I'm in a prickly pear cactus.
Oh my God.
Yes. Dude. Like all down the side in my butt. And like, there's some guy who was helping me pick it out of my hand. And then some girls helped me pick it out of my butt. And that's how I spent my 16th birthday.
Oh dude,
that was traumatic. Crazy. And then I had to drive back all night. No, I got like, I passed out. And I woke up.
Oh, you, also, I thought, you
yeah, it's you not like I just laid there
like 8 hours later. Like,
yeah, no, everyone's like, boy's birthday. Fuck yeah, him. Am I right? So,
okay.
Those are some good ones,
That's pretty good. You know, the woods ones are scary. Like, I was always scared of the Blair Witch, so I would never sleep at night going camping. You would just hear shit.
And, I would never sleep. The woods, the desert's fine. I don't mind the desert. the woods is scary. Like I've gone, I go camping up at like, yeah. I haven't been in forever, but like up at like Woods Canyon Lakes, the Finger Lakes up on the rim, Chevron Creek. I used to go fishing there all the time. When we camp at night, man, like, yeah, you go out for a piss late at
the
night.
Just, rim.
It's yeah. Up on the Mongyun Rim. It's like the shadows is just terrifying. All of a sudden, yeah, it's that you start to freak yourself out, especially when you were in at like 17, 16, 17, 18 years old, and you're just blazed off your ass. And you're like, oh shit, man, I can't sleep. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff.
And no, I didn't have my pencil, too, my giant pencil to keep me company, oh, keep God. Me safe.
I guess that one for another time. And sorry to Kevin, he's from the Philippines. Yeah, I forgot your internet's unfortunate, it goes up and down. So, Kevin is from the Philippines, from the Suns Planet podcast. So happy to have those guys kind of take our place on fan side as we head over to the Believe Network.
Guys.
Yeah, great podcast. They do it every Saturday morning for the most part. Obviously, it's the off season, so everyone's kind of slowing down except us because we're psychos. But outside of that, just happy to see them and to have some of them write for Bright Side of the Sun as well. So on that note, Matthew, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. A reminder, everybody, subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff. I will say this is hopefully one of the last times you're going to hear the long outro where I've cut it by like 20 seconds. But before we drop that one, Matthew, you want to tell them what to do?
Yeah, go home. Love your family, everybody.
Call Sun Jam Session, Post Game Thrill, John and Matthew, podcast skill, analyzing game for comedic flair since 2019. They've been right here. Sun Jam Session, Post Game Pod, talking Suns ball with the Jamster Squad from the Valley of the Sun, spreading the word. Original podcast, haven't you heard? Subreddit stakeout behind enemy lines. Batman, Valley, Lissy, and Curry combined. Reporting live with jokes to the brain. Flavor to the podcast game. Suns Jam Session, Post Game Pod, talking Suns ball with the Jamster Squad from the Valley of the Sun, spreading the word. Original podcast, haven't you heard? Subreddit stakeout behind enemy lines. Batman, Valley, Lissy, and Kermit combined. Reporting live with jokes to the brain. Added flavor to the podcast game. Suns Jam Session, Post Game Pod, talking Suns ball with the Jamster Squad from the Valley of the Sun, spreading the word. Original podcast, haven't you heard?
Diehard fans are just passing through. Suns Jam Session's got some for you. Lick the eyes to the feet's bitter bite with the Suns through the day and the night. After every game, don't miss the beat. Suns Jam Session's gonna bring it.
They like smell your feet.
John and Matthew leading the way in the Suns podcast. Right on first day. Suns Jam Session, post game pod.
Yep. I know them. Watch out for cactus. Cactus. Ever clearing cactus. Not a good thing. Yeah. Matthew hugs pencils.